Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We're so blessed that you're joining us because we are bringing you part two of my two-part interview with Maxwell Ivey, also known as the Blind Blogger. Now, if you missed yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up. We're going to rewind just a little bit for continuity purposes, but Max's story is just riveting. I can't describe it any other way. He's a master storyteller, but his story of how he lost his eyesight at age 12, working in the family business, which was carnivals, and even though he lost his eyesight, he is still in a form of the carnival business by now connecting people who are looking to buy equipment and things like that for their carnivals. In addition, he has a podcast that is just outstanding. It's called What's Your Excuse? What a fitting name. What a great name. Now, again, if you missed yesterday's episode, go back and catch up. We're going to start off by asking Max to explain a little bit about the carnival business, but for now, let's join Max in the interview. You're still involved in the carnival business a little bit, basically behind the scenes and selling equipment. What's involved with all that?
Well, basically, people that have equipment that they want to sell that they haven't been able to sell on their own, then I list it on my website and I promote it through social media and through an email list and try to find people who want to buy the equipment. I'm not really a broker because a broker would actually handle the money and take care of the dismantling or transportation and reinstallation. They do the financing. I'm really more of what you would call a matchmaker, just trying to put people together, somebody who needs to sell something with somebody who wants to buy something, you know, and take a reasonable percentage of the sale when I can make that happen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's shift gears a little bit now. Now, you've faced other health issues over the years. I read that you lost over 250 pounds. How did you do that?
Right. Well, at one point I was almost kicked out of a motel in Port Lavaca, Texas, because I wetted the bed and people were concerned about me. So I went to a doctor and the doctor said, you know, if you don't do something about your health soon, you're not going to be around much longer. So at the end of that season, I went home and got with an actual primary care doctor and started, you know, first by doing all the tests to find out how bad off you are. And, you know, she immediately put me on about seven different medicines for high blood pressure and cholesterol and gout, who knows what else. And she convinced me that I probably had sleep apnea. So she got me tested and treated for that. And once I started getting quality sleep and rest, then I started feeling a whole lot better about things. It allowed me to find energy and passion that I thought I had lost during the time when our business family carnival went out of business. And, you know, that just shows you how important getting your sleep and rest is to you and how dangerous it is for entrepreneurs to trade sleep for growing their business. And we, you know, it's one of those things that doesn't work long term for those people who are doing it. So got me treated for sleep apnea. And then after about a year later, she said, you know, you're not really making any progress, but at least I know you're trying, which is different than most of my patients. And she said, I want you to go to a seminar, at least hear what they have to say about gastric surgery. So I said, okay, I'll go, but don't expect me to come back and say we're going to do this. Because I thought it was, you know, was quitting, accepting you can't do it. And I also thought it was a quick fix, something that wouldn't require any effort. So I go to the seminar and they tell me, you know, this is not for everybody. It only works about half the time, because if you're not going to change your lifestyle before, during, and after having the surgery, it will, you know, you're not going to be successful and you're not going to keep the weight off long term. So don't do it. So I went through the talks with the dietitians and the nutritionists, and we changed a lot of stuff here at the house, like portion sizes and how we prepared food. And, you know, I started exercising more regularly, started drinking more water, and had the surgery. And within a year after having the surgery, I had lost over half my body weight. And
wow.
While I've had some health setbacks since then. I got the shingles, which knocked me off for about two months.
That's not good. Yeah.
I got very sick during a speaking trip last fall that pretty much took me out for 2 or 3 months. And a year or so ago, I had to have neck surgery to correct some bulging discs in my neck that were worrying them. They said I was potentially a fall could have caused paralysis. Wow. So
yeah.
So I'm doing very well, in my opinion. I'm not at my ideal weight right now, but I know why. I know what to do to get there, and I'm on the road back to being where I know I need to be healthy long term. So
yeah, amen. I know I myself I've faced weight issues most of my life, and I've lost going on 70 pounds now in about 18 months. And so I finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired for the same reasons, you know. So, amen. Now let's talk about your book, Leading You Out of Darkness into the Light, A Blind Man's Inspiration Guide to Success. It was published in 2014, but tell us about your book.
Right. It's a book that tells about my journey from before when I was still actively in the carnival business through the family's business failing to how I felt afterwards, and then, you know, the things that went on for me to get back. And then it also talks about some of the things that I've used over the years that have helped me be successful, like you know, and most of it is not earth-shattering. It just seems like coming from me, it seems to help people, because they combine these suggestions with the fact that they're coming from somebody like me, and it seems to have a little bit extra impact on them. But things like breaking the big goals up into small pieces, celebrating the small successes, having a community of positive, supportive people around you, you know, things that everybody has said, everybody knows, but the trick is in actually doing them, you know. So there's 11 exercises in there that people can work through. And one of the things I did in the book is I included my email, and I encouraged the people to report their progress to me as they were going through the book. Okay. At the time, other coaches warned me that I was making a mistake, that I was opening myself up to free coaching, because people would take as much as I would give them through that email address. And I said, that may happen, but my feeling was, is if you're going to write a book to help people, then you have to think about why other books haven't helped them. And I thought, we all know people who have read the book. They've listened to the audios. They've been to the seminar. And when they get home or when they're through, they're still in the same spot, because there wasn't that right one something in there to help them finally make progress. So I felt like if they had a person they could report their progress to, or possibly even reach out with questions or encouragement, that they'd be more likely to be successful. And so that's a bit about the book. That, and I need to update my bio, because there's been two other books since then. There's the book I wrote about my gastric surgery experience called It's Not the Cookie, It's the Bag. And then there's the book I wrote about my experiences traveling to and spending 2 weeks in New York City during the Christmas and New Year's holidays of 2016, 2017, called The Blind Blogger's New York City Adventures, How You Can Make Your Dreams Come True. And I'm sorry I didn't mention that to you before or send you those books. But
amen. Amen. So you're continuing to write then. So it's just one experience.
Yeah. And I've got two books worth of material on my laptop right now that my editor would be really thankful if you'd be the person who'd finally get in my face and make me actually publish one of them. I'm for some reason. You know, I have told people this. It doesn't matter how many books you publish, or how many albums you release, or how many videos you make. The next time you press send or publish, you have to go through that same conversation in your head again as to, why am I doing this? You mean people actually want to read this? you know, and you get better at them, but you still have to have those conversations over again. Oh, yeah. So I've got two books worth of material. I need to finish my editing on them and send them off to my editor, Lorraine Regulie at wordingwell.com, which I mentioned because she was very important in the process of getting all three of my books published so far. And I definitely believe in showing gratitude to people who have helped me along the way. So I do need to get my next book out there. I mean, it's October 31st when we're recording this. So if I send it off to her today, it might get published by the first week or two of January. And so, yeah, I really need to get moving on that.
Amen. Well, if she listens to this podcast, she's going to hear me tell you, just press send.
Oh my God. You didn't just do that. You did not. You did not just do that. When I spoke at Joe Pardo was the host of our event this year at MapCon. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. When I spoke at his event 2 years ago in May of 2017, that was my topic title. You couldn't have known that. I mean, no, I didn't. Okay, now I'm just done. I'm going to have to just turn everything off and edit my butt off.
That's right.
That's the bad thing about being inspirational. People will throw your own words back at you. In the last month, I've had 5 different people use the, I thought you were the no excuses guy on me.
There you go.
So far, it hasn't worked for them because I've gone from the guy who didn't think he could do nothing but maybe sell carnival rides to a guy who thinks, well, I could do that, but do I want to do it right now or does it fit my current goals? Is it something maybe I should do next month or next year? But you know, that's a really hard thing to get to because there are a lot of people who are like, I can't. There's no way that would work, or I've tried before and never succeeded. And, you know, they have to get that first little try out of the way and then try some smaller, some bigger and bigger things.
Yep.
And then you will get to that point where you're like, okay, somebody just said, I double dog dare you to do something. And I'm sorry, I just have to tell them no.
Well, I've written some books as well. And I get stuck in the, let me just set it aside and I'll come back and edit it again later. Cause it's always never good enough. Well, maybe I can just do this a little bit better, rephrase this, and that's it. Just hit send. Boom. Gone. Let the editor take care of it.
Yeah, that's where you need a good editor. I'll hook you up with Lorraine after the show. We'll get this taken care of. We'll both publish and co-promote our books in January.
There you go. Hey, man, I'm still working. My draft isn't there yet.
All right.
It's about half written on the next book, but it's coming. You know, it is coming.
Amen. Well, let me know if you want. I'd be more than happy to be a beta reader and tell you how close you are.
There you go.
Always easier to look at somebody else's mess than to look at your own.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean that the wrong way. I'm sorry, but you know what I mean.
Well, that takes me right to my next question, because I briefly mentioned your consulting business. So let's talk about that for a few minutes. You help people to build their brands. What's involved in all that?
Well, the first thing I do is help them realize the power of their story, because a lot of people are doing good work, but they don't realize just how important their work is. Or if they do know, then they're not exactly sure how to express it or how to share their story in, you know, what we would call their elevator pitch, or what I like to call their origin story. You know, that 3 to 5 sentences that tells people who they are, where they came from, and why you should listen to them or buy from them. So, you know, that's the first thing. And then once you get them clear on their story, then you start reaching out to people, either bloggers or podcasters or radio show hosts. And you go, hey, this person here has a great story. You need to have them on your show, or you need to give them some space on your blog and let them write an article or possibly answer some questions or maybe feature them in a roundup post. So a lot of just introductions, putting people together with talent or that have opportunities for people with talent, and writing those emails, writing hundreds of emails. And you know, you said it just minutes ago, you know, you said just press send. You'd be surprised how many very talented people there are out there who are working very hard, and they're building things that are amazing. But they don't know that in their hearts, and they don't have the courage, the time, the energy, or the experience to reach out to people and say, hey, I'm really good at this. You should feature me on your website, or you should advertise on my website. You know, And so I actually started doing some cold calling, some cold emailing, some direct marketing. And that's actually thanks to Joe Pardo, because in the beginning, I didn't think of myself as somebody who was growing brands. I thought of just myself as, okay, I'm an online publicist. I'm getting people booked on radio shows and podcasts, and that's it. But, you know, Joe, he explained to me, you know, you're really doing more than that, because the first thing is you're letting these people know that they're doing great work and that the world needs to hear their story as well as see their product or service or the work that they're creating.
Yeah.
And I usually do work with creative people. More often it's an author, a musician, a filmmaker, or a podcaster who needs more exposure, needs to grow the brand to where maybe they can start getting sponsorships or advertising, or where they can start doing joint ventures, just, you know, whatever it is that they happen to want to do that next thing after they get good at the blog or the podcast or the online magazine.
So. Yep. Amen. Amen. And you have a podcast as well, right? How's that going?
It's going pretty good. It's called the What's Your Excuse Show. And I interview people who have overcome adversity or thrived in spite of difficult life circumstances. And my goal is to challenge and explode the excuses people are making for themselves that keep them from accomplishing their goals and dreams. And I get to interview great people just like you, because we were talking about it before the interview started, and you were telling me some of the awesome people that you've gotten to have conversations with once you started your podcast. I did have some trouble about 2 years ago. The process of uploading the audio got to be frustrating and time consuming. And I decided, you know, there's nothing that says a podcast has to be audio. And at the time I was recording video, but I wasn't doing anything with the video. So for the last couple of years, I just posted the video to Facebook and YouTube. And some of those interviews were getting 200 or 300 views on Facebook.
Amen.
At least.
Amen.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things, you get to the point, okay, just because everybody else does it, does that mean I have to do it?
Right.
And if I do have to do it, then why would I want to do something that's so draining that it takes the joy out of the process of having these conversations and promoting these people's stories? So I decided if posting the audio was making it to the point where I didn't want to record interviews, I didn't want to ask people to be on my show, I didn't want to tell people that I had done a show, I said, then we'll just stop doing audio for a while and did just the video. And then back in June, I spoke at a thing called Level Up, put on by a group called Envisions in Wichita, Kansas, for a bunch of visually impaired and blind high school age and first year college age people. I'm going to call them kids because I'm 53, so I can call them kids. And after spending a week around these kids and seeing the stuff that they're doing, that they aspire to do, like the STEM program where they built Power Wheels cars for other kids that didn't have all the fingers or legs that some kids are born, you know, every kid is usually born with, you know, seeing them build planes, remote control planes that actually flew, you know, seeing them create meals like as if they were going to be a chef someday. And after spending a week around them, I'm like, Max, you obviously needed to come here because you've been making excuses. So I reached out to a few blind people I know who have podcasts, and I said, what would be the easiest way for me to start getting the audio back out there? Because I need to do this. And my friend Michael Babcock at YourOwnPay.com, he said, okay, I'm going to help you get set up with Blueberry, and started the podcast going again on July 1st. I've only missed, I think, 2 weeks since July 1st of putting out a new episode on Mondays. The podcast is up to over 600 downloads in 4 months. And I think I'm probably going to make it to my first 1,000 downloads before the end of the year, which I think is makes me feel really good about what I've done as far as an area that I wasn't really taking my own advice. You know, I was making excuses. So I feel pretty good about the podcast and where it's going. I have a few more important guests that have agreed to come on the show that it's a matter of scheduling. But when it comes to my podcast guests, just like when it comes to the people I work with, I get more joy out of talking to people who aren't famous yet, people who are at that point where they need somebody to help them see their vision and help them grow their work, their book, album, whatever, to the point where other people can be inspired and motivated by it because they finally hear about it and know it's out there. So that, I find that, you know, while very few people that I've ever reached out to have said no, it's not like I'm thinking, well, how do I get Obama or Oprah on my podcast? I don't, you know, that's just not the way I approach it, because I really do enjoy hearing these stories of people who the rest of the world hasn't heard about yet, but yep, they've got amazing stories.
Amen. Amen. Well, if someone's listening right now and they're going through something, it may not be loss of eyesight, but it's something big to them, what words of wisdom can you give to that person? What advice can you give them if they're listening right now?
Well, I would say first, find at least one person who's been through what you're going through before, if possible. And even if you don't know them personally, reach out to them. One of the great things about our online world today is that there are lots of people out there who are willing to help, and they're really, you only have to ask them. I have heard of very few experiences from friends of mine where they've reached out to somebody like that and the answer has been no. And mainly that's because most of the people who have been through this, they appreciate your struggle, and they have accumulated a lot of knowledge and experience by their own struggle. And one of the things that will give them a lot of joy is helping somebody else overcome the same things or similar things to what they've been through. I like to say, when you refuse to ask for help, you rob the other person of the joy they would have received from helping you. So first thing I would say, reach out to somebody either directly or to a support group or to a perhaps you're already a member of an organization or a online group where you know people, you could ask about it. And then I would say the next thing is to just do something. It doesn't have to be something for profit. It could be hobby, volunteer work. It could be just lacing up your shoes in the morning, assuming you have feet, because some people, that's their problem. But if find some sort of small action you can take each day, even if it doesn't have an obvious concrete purpose to move you forward, action.
Yep.
Yeah. Will always make you feel better. And if else, then the way you'll feel about it grows exponentially. It always Amen. Makes you feel better to do something for somebody else, even if it's something small, like a bag, like carrying out a bag of trash or refilling an ice tray, or just standing there and watching somebody's shopping basket while they go get something they need. You know, it doesn't have to be big, but doing something for yourself or for somebody else, those are a couple of real good ways when you're struggling.
Amen. Amen. Max, if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or maybe have you do an interview such as this, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
Right. They can go to theblindblogger.net, or they can send me an email at justask@theblindblogger.net. And since I've just recently started to understand this whole wireless speaker thing, they can also say, Alexa, play The Blind Blogger, or okay, Google, talk to The Blind Blogger. And both of those will take them to my website. And I understand they can even tell those speakers they want to send me an email. And I don't know if Amen. That's for sure or not, but that's what my expert tells me. So,
Amen.
It's another way for people to easily find me, because most people either have those devices or those apps just about everywhere they are. So those would be the best ways of getting a hold of me. You want to check out my podcast, you can either do that at theblindblogger.net, or you can go to youtube.com/Maxwell Ivy. I also sing, as you know, it's one of my things. Favorite thing to do as a hobby, and sometimes I do it when I speak. The videos of me singing usually don't turn up on the blog. They usually show up on YouTube. So those would be the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay, I'll be putting links to all this down in the show notes and your books and your podcast as well. So, folks, to quote Max's podcast name, what's your excuse? You've heard some of the things Maxwell's gone through, but notice the key phrase here, has gone through. He's not there. He has gone through. He's moved on to greater things. You know, Psalms 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. It does not say, yea, though I made my home in the valley of the shadow of death, you come and visit me. Now, God expects us to go through the tough times. He expects us to use our faith to go through and to come out of those tough times. We can't always pick and choose what battles we're going to face. We sometimes can't even understand why things have happened. I know I've been through some things myself, but we can know that God is always with us, leading us and guiding us. We just need to make ourselves available, because whatever we're going through, God can use that to inspire someone else that needs to know it as well. Maxwell, thank you for taking the time to visit with us today. I want you to come back on the program anytime you feel like having something to share, man.
Well, I appreciate the offer. I'm really glad we met at the conference.
Absolutely.
I appreciate what you were saying there at the end. And, you know, in the Bible, we have the perfect example of Job, a man who didn't even realize why he was being tested.
That's
right. He had no idea that that Satan had asked God's permission to test him. But he had faith, and he made it through. And at the end, he was blessed twice as much of everything he lost. So we do have great examples from the Bible that will help us get through these troubled times.
Amen. Amen. Folks, reach out to Maxwell. Get in touch with him. Ask some questions. Order his books. Praise the Lord. And if you are looking at building a brand, if you're looking at getting someone to, excuse the pun, look at your business with a different perspective, right? Maxwell's a guy to do it. Just reach out to him, tell him what you need, and work it all out, because he is awesome. And if you get a chance to hear him speak, or you're holding a conference, invite him out to speak. His message and his story will hold everyone's attention in the auditorium. I guarantee it. I've seen it firsthand. Maxwell, thank you again for coming on the program today, buddy. I just enjoyed it so much.
Thank you. I have too.
Folks, that is all the time we have for today. This is Pastor Bob reminding you, for Maxwell Ivey and myself, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.